I have, this morning, sent a letter to Speaker Pelosi asking her to grant me a leave of absence until such time as the Ethics Committee completes its work.
On Wednesday, New York Congressman Charlie Rangel announced he was temporarily stepping down as chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. The move comes as the House Ethics Committee probes allegations of income tax evasion and other improprieties on the part of Rangel. Whether or not Rangel will ever be chairman again is a matter of debate. What is apparently no longer a matter of debate is that Michigan's Sander Levin will be the new chairman. But that move is out of the ordinary. The rules call for the next senior member of the majority party to be chairman. And on Wednesday, we learned who should have replaced Rangel as chairman.
In the case to which the inquiry alludes, the member of the committee next in rank is the gentleman from California, Mr. Stark.
That's Democrat Pete Stark of California, a 19-term Democrat who represents a district near San Francisco. So why was he denied the chance to chair the Ways and Means Committee? In nearly 40 years of service in Washington, Stark is considered a reliably liberal vote on virtually every issue, although not really a leader on any of them. But he is known for something far different than his politics.
I think you're big enough to make me, you little wimp. Come on, come over here and make me. I dare you. You little fruitcake. You little fruitcake. I said you're a fruitcake.
That's Congressman Stark trying to bait a physical confrontation a few years ago with then-Colorado Congressman Scott McInnes, as McInnes tried to stop Stark's ad hominem attack against then-chairman of the Ways and Means Committee Bill Thomas. And that is Stark's real reputation in a nutshell. A crude, uncivil bully who will savage any political opponent or constituent who dares confront him. Perhaps the most infamous Stark outburst came on the House floor during a debate on health care in 2007, as Republicans pointed out that the Democratic initiative on children's health care would add to the deficit. Stark countered by saying the Iraq War was running up deficits and Republicans didn't seem to care. A fair debating point until he threw in this firebomb.
You don't have money to fund the war or children, but you're going to spend it to blow up innocent people if we can get enough kids to grow old enough for you to send to Iraq to get their heads blown off for the president's amusement.
Stark later apologized after a firestorm of criticism from members of both parties, as well as members of the U.S. military, their families, and veterans. It was another veteran of the U.S. military who drew the congressman's ire in 2003 after Stark voted against a general resolution condemning mistreatment of Iraqi prisoners because he wanted specific people held responsible. Republican activist Daniel Dow faxed a letter to Stark calling the congressman's vote a disgrace, among a few other incendiary phrases. Stark then fired back this phone message.
Dan, this is Congressman Pete Stark, and I just got your fax, and you don't know what you're talking about. So if you care about enlisted people, you wouldn't have voted for that thing either. But probably somebody put you up to this, and I'm not sure who it was, but I doubt if you could spell half the words in the letter and somebody wrote it for you. So I don't pay much attention to it, but I'll call you back later and let you tell me more about why you think you're such a great hero. And why you think that the generals and the Defense Department who forced these poor enlisted guys to do what they did shouldn't be held to account. That's the issue. So if you want to stick it to a bunch of enlisted guys, have your way. But if you want to get to the bottom of the people who forced this awful program in Iraq, then you should understand more about it than you obviously do. Thanks.
But that sort of approach to constituents from Stark is nothing new. In September of 2009, a citizen critical of Stark on a number of issues ranging from health care to veterans coverage demanded that the congressman stop trying to dupe the voters in his district. Hear now the end of that comment and the congressman's response.
You mucked up everything you get your hands on. Now what? Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. By peeing on your leg, I know it wouldn't be worth wasting the urine. But
at the beginning of this piece, we played the clip of Stark challenging a GOP colleague to a fight. That is certainly not the first time Stark has gone way outside the bounds of congressional etiquette for punitive purposes. He once called Connecticut Congresswoman Nancy Johnson a whore for the insurance industry because she gets all of her information on health care from Pillow Talk with her doctor husband. He accused former Oklahoma Republican Congressman J.C. Watts of having all of his children out of wedlock. During the first Gulf War, Stark called Democratic colleagues Tom Lantos and Stephen Solars hostile militant guys for supporting the use of force resolution, and he said they voted that way out of convenience for Israel. And there's more. In 1990, Stark called Bush 41 Health and Human Services Secretary Louis Sullivan, an African-American, a disgrace to his race, who was living on then-White House Chief of Staff John Sununu's plantation. Last year, he went after the commanding general in Afghanistan, saying that General Stanley McChrystal was one of the best killers in the world, as he proved in Iraq, but I don't think he knows squat about diplomacy. Stark went on to say if McChrystal didn't have a gun, he'd be useless. Stark is also the only member of Congress in American history to ever publicly state that he is an atheist. In 2007, he said, quote, "I'm a Unitarian who does not believe in a supreme being. I look forward to working with the secular coalition to stop the promotion of narrow religious beliefs in science, marriage contracts, the military, and the provision of social service." Stark also voted a number of years ago against a House resolution at Christmas time that simply described Christianity as one of the world's great religions. Not long before that vote, he voted in favor of giving Islam the designation as one of the world's great religions. Today, Republicans are discussing Stark's own ethical issues, including being one of the members who bounced many checks in the House banking scandal of the early 90s. But after almost four decades in Congress, Stark will not be remembered for ethics probes or any constructive legislation, but rather for lacking the human decency befitting civilized people, much less the dignity of public service. It appears that his fellow Democrats now see that as his legacy as well. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.